Happy Tuesday. The Ira Kaufman podcast is back. The sage is in the house. Mr. Ira Kaufman. The podcast is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Ira, you are looking good. You've been on television. We're recording. It's Monday night. Your Chiefs, your beloved Chiefs, are in the AFC Championship.
They made for a beautiful weekend, Mr. Isbitz. A beautiful
the
weekend.
The curse is lifted. How are you?
All right. I, you know what? Our listeners love the personal stuff. They love the stuff with Dante and the Scalzone. I got another story. This one doesn't make me look so good, but I got to tell it.
You lost another beach chair.
No, this is better. Hey, and the beach chair story. This one's for Javier. He's not going to believe it. Steve, I don't know what the heck I was thinking. But, I don't know, Friday night or something, I said, let's go to the movies. This movie Green Book's supposed to be good with Viggo Mortensen. The Pianist is going through the South. It looks good. Could be an Oscar contender. So I said, hey, we'll go to Oldsmar. You can pick out your seats right there online. You pay ahead of time. So the movie was going to start at 6:30. I go on Oldsmar's website. I got D1, D2. I throw them $24 with the service fee. I press the button. Everything's fine. Confirmed. We're sending out an email. 15 minutes later, 6:30 on Saturday, the Chiefs start at 4:30. What the hell am I doing? What am I, crazy? My wife goes, what's the matter? I go, I just prepaid for the tickets for something that I'm not going to see. Oh, we got to go anyway. You paid for it. No, absolutely not. So we stayed home, got a calzone. Saved money on dinner. We were going to go for sushi at a movie. And, Steve, what the hell am I thinking? I'm paying in advance for a movie I got no business seeing.
That's fantastic. So what you should have done is driven down to Oldsmar and scalped the tickets outside for $20 discount.
Believe me, there were plenty empty seats. I don't think there would have been a big audience for it.
You don't have a DVR?
It's not out on TV. It's not on pay-per-view.
No. Chiefs.
Oh, I got to watch that game live.
You got to watch live?
Would you DVR the Cardinals in the World Series?
I've done it. Because the Tribune came ahead of me, the Cardinals.
I had Tribune assignments. That's because you were out with Rachel Watson. That's the only reason.
Ira, the magic of the DVR is when you're watching a game, you start half an hour into the game, and then you can replay everything and watch it like four times in one.
I got to watch that game at 4:30. Well, by 7:30, I was a happy camper.
Congratulations. For those who don't know it, the Sage is a Chiefs fan going back to 1950s.
I'd say mid-60s.
Mid-60s.
Lenny Dawson.
By the way, the Colts, you stunk. Colts were terrible. Chiefs were good, but Colts were terrible. Andrew Luck, I don't know what's going on with Andrew Luck. He looked badly. He looked bad.
Initially, as the game went on, he looked better. But
hey, I'll take it.
Tough spot. You guys won, and
Chiefs,
that's it.
Three-point favorites against New England. That means it's an even game.
We got plenty to talk about on this rollicking podcast.
Rollicking.
We did three.
I got you off to a heck of a start right there, Isbitz.
You can't top that. That's fantastic. You should have called me. I would have gone
to
the movies.
I'm out $24, DeKemper. I'm not coughing it up.
24 well spent with the Chiefs.
You should have put it out
right
on Twitter. Who wants my movie tickets? You would have been bombarded.
There you go.
Nobody would have been watching the Chiefs game. Sage.
And now I still got to see the movie. It's going to cost me another 24.
Hey, you can always call them, ask for a refund, say, hey, can you credit me? I broke my back.
I thought about it, but then they were going to say what happened, and if I told them, they'd say, you're an idiot. You're
just tell them a FedEx truck ran into you.
Ooh, nice one, Lee.
All right.
All right, what's on your mind,
now,
Steve?
Now, little business. I'm Steve Isbitz, of course, JoeBucksFan.com with Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan, and the podcast rolls on, available at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. We appreciate you subscribing there, absolutely free, and you can get an alert. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to all the other Joe Bucks Fan podcasts that you see. The commish has been on fire lately on Bucks Uncensored. He's having a blast with this new regime, as we all are, Ira.
So, am I creeping into the top 50, or you got nothing for me?
All right, here's what I got for you. There's no creep. You're either in or you're out.
I like the word creep over there, Lee.
So
in other words, I'm out. From the tone of your voice, I'm out.
You're out, but you'll be back. You'll be back, and it's been very impressive that you've even made it. And you're,
you know what? This Green Book story, that could put me right back in the top 50, Lee. A story like that. The Green Book story.
Well, you're going to have someone drive you around to
you never know.
My
concert piece.
Word of mouth says, you got to listen to this podcast Ira just told an unbelievable story.
I heard it was a good movie. All right, Sage, when we last convened, you and Lee did a short podcast.
We did.
After the Bruce Arians meet the local media, the whole dog and pony show at $1. You guys did an emergency-esque podcast.
It was right outside the building, and as soon as we finished the podcast, out comes Joel Glazer walking to his car. I think he was going to the airport to get back to his hometown, but he was all smiles, all smiles.
And the first thing he said was, Lee, stop with those captions under my picture. What the hell's going on?
I don't know where you guys come up with that stuff.
Now, Sage, so that ran on Friday morning. So here we are, and I wanted to ask you first, before we get into a lot of stuff, that was a whirlwind, but now that you've had a few days to digest the Bruce Arians hire and all the things he's had to say and the various happenings, give us some thoughts.
All right, a couple of thoughts, and I don't believe this is going out on a limb. I think he's going to be a short timer.
Sure.
I think he's going to be a short timer. And I don't mean necessarily for health issues. I think there's a plan in place. Could change. I'm thinking 2 to 3 years. That's what I'm thinking.
2 years,
I'm thinking 2 to 3
wow.
years. I think you look at his staff. A lot of it I like. Some of it I have some questions about. What are the questions? Well, it seems to me that if you played for him at Temple, you had a pretty good chance of being on his staff. I don't know that that's a great thing. We'll see. Some of these guys, have, like Bowles, have proven he can coach, certainly as a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to me, the jury's out a little bit on that. I don't think it's as bad, guys, as Lovie Smith, you know, putting his son on the staff. I'm not equating that. But, you know, it's not nepotism, but it's familiarity.
Cronyism.
That's a strong word, Lee.
No?
I'm going to go with familiarity. Some of these guys, I don't know that they can coach. We're about to find out.
Is cronyism worse than nepotism? I always consider it lesser. Lesser of two evils.
Well, it's a good debate. We'll have Isbitt's way on it in a minute.
Well, I think he believes these guys are good coaches.
Obviously. And here's my third point. You know what? If Arians only lasts 2 years, but he gets Winston to the next level, that's a success story.
I agree with that.
That is a success story for this franchise.
I agree with that.
Even if the franchise goes 9-7 both seasons and doesn't make the playoffs, you will not look back at the 2 years of the Bruce Arians era and say it was a failure.
No.
You will not. You will not. Now, if he goes 7-9 and Winston ends up not playing for the Bucks in 2020, we got a problem.
Yeah.
We got a problem. So those are my initial thoughts. He's not here for the long term. No great surprise. If you play for Temple, you had a good chance of being on the Bucks staff. And, again, it is all about Winston. There's no question about it. And that's why that leads me into this DeSean Jackson thing. We'll talk about it later. I'm sure Isbitt will bring it up. But if it's all about Winston, I'm not sure Arians is in a hurry to make sure that DeSean Jackson is on the 2019 roster.
Yeah,
we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll talk with Steve about that in a moment. Now, I can't remember, because I generally can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can't remember if we discussed this or not in the emergency podcast after the Bruce Arians Dog and Pony Show. I am willing to bet that the 13th Bucks coach, whenever Arians decides to hang it up, the 13th Bucks coach, the guy who succeeds Arians, is already on staff.
I agree with that. Now you got to identify that person. You think it's Goodwin?
I would think either Goodwin or Bowles, one of the two. Now, this is Monday we're recording this. I was at the East-West Shrine practices today at the Fruit Dome, and I told this to someone who's an NFL mover and shaker, and he said, don't count out Brian Leftwich.
Well, I was going to mention Leftwich because, Steve, one of the things we've been hearing on Twitter and some people have been writing stories is, and it really affects some of the minority candidates, is it's being held against them. You didn't call plays. You didn't call plays. That's the story out there that during these interviews.
He did in Arizona, did he?
No, but I'm saying that's something that's held against guys that never called plays.
Like Goodwin. Okay, yeah.
And,
I see what you're saying.
I think you got to throw Leftwich in. I think Bowles is a stretch. I think
really?
Bowles is a stretch to get another shot. We'll see. He's going to have to obviously do a great job with the Buck defense. But it was such a rough go for Bowles in New York. he might have to wait a little bit longer.
The gentleman I was talking to about Leftwich, well, he told me, he's like, don't discount Leftwich.
I wouldn't discount Leftwich.
Well, he had a valid premise. If Jameis turns things around and is top 12 quarterback, a lot of that credit is going to go to Leftwich.
Yeah.
It'll be very similar to Freddie Kitchens getting the job in Cleveland, because look what he did with Baker Mayfield.
Well, Sage, I have been completely absorbed 24/7 in listening to every possible Arians interview I can find. I've been listening to every single one of his son's podcast.
Immersed. This is since he's been named coach, or even years ago?
No. He was coming as head coach. And his son is a wealth of information.
Tell me about his son.
His son played at UAB college football as a kicker. And he did football.
Jake?
Jake, his only son. He did football camps with his dad. They're tight. And he played 1 year in the NFL, played for the Bills as a kicker, and he went the Aguayo route. He missed some kicks, and he mailed it in.
Not drafted?
Not drafted.
How old do you think this kid is?
I'll tell you, he's 39 years old.
Okay. Yeah.
So he played with the Bills, I think it was 01 or something like that, and he got cut, and that was it. Okay. And he runs the Family Foundation and does a couple of other things. He represents his dad with some marketing stuff, and he's a wealth of info.
He's never been on a coaching staff or
anything. He doesn't want to coach. He's not a coach. He has said, based on listening to him, I would have to say Leftwich is the guy that has his father's heart and his father's passion as far as head coach material.
Mm.
So I would just from listening to that, and you would think his kid would know. Now, his kid also says that Todd Bowles will get another chance if he wanted it, and it's not something that he wants right now.
How far back does the Leftwich-Arians relationship go?
Not far at all. Leftwich joined Arizona. Well, it goes back to the Steelers, where he played for Arians with the Steelers.
As a backup?
As a backup,
a backup, all right.
But then Leftwich was out of football and decided, let me take one of those coaching internships that they do for OTAs and spring practices. And he stepped into Arizona in 2016 as an intern. I missed the game. And Arians just thought, so smart, so intuitive. Carson Palmer raved about him as, man, he really sees
That's
things.
That's when they went 7-8-1 or 8-8.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
what year was Leftwich with the Bucks, Steve? Do you remember?
Freeman's rookie year.
09. Starter in 09. Signed as a free agent. Beat out Luke McCown. And, the rest is bad Bucks history. So the thing I want to say about Leftwich is they view him as an up-and-comer. And he's 38 years old. He's just like all these other young guys on the rise, and he's played. And
I'm trying to remember dealing with Leftwich, and from what I remember, he's a very sharp guy.
Well, the only thing that sticks out to me with Leftwich was Josh Freeman's very first game as a rookie. It was a preseason game at Nashville. And I went to talk to Freeman after the game in the locker room, even though they have a press conference afterwards. He started answering me, and Leftwich shut it down. He didn't yell at me, but he kind of like grabbed Freeman's hands and put him down. He's like, you'll be talking later, not now.
Did Leftwich start any games in 09?
Yeah, he started the first three, and then he had some mysterious elbow injury or something, and he sort of faded away. They started Josh Johnson, and then they made the call to Freeman, something like that. But the one thing I gathered about Arians from his son as far as his timetable is that the wife, Mrs. Arians, she never liked Arizona. Never
Whoa.
Liked it.
Wow.
She stayed living in Atlanta and flew back and forth and just never liked the desert. Arians said that himself.
Wow.
On a separate discussion. But she likes it here a lot already. Apparently they went out with Darcy Glazer, and she's already working with Darcy on her foundation here, and it's already kicking in, and she likes it here. It's close to Georgia, and she's really looking forward to it all. So
She must have liked the dinner at Ava. I mean, those meatballs can win you over.
I was going to say it sounds like water, because they have a lakefront house in Georgia. Arians, during the bye week,
yes,
goes back, gets on his boat, and obviously there's water in the Tampa Bay area. That's my guess, because if you've ever seen the NFL Network's Football Life with Arians, which is on YouTube, you can watch it. When he was at Indianapolis, she was upset. He took the job because she wanted him to retire so they can go to, her words, not mine, our forever home.
Okay.
But the whole short-term Arians thing, I just look at it as if he's winning and everybody feels good when you're winning, man, the Bucs are hosting, Tampa's hosting a Super Bowl in 2021.
Oh, he's getting way ahead.
I think he'd love a shot to be in that mix. And if they're playing well and he's got all these, this is going to be the biggest coaching staff in the league. He might just sit on his throne and collect his money and be the CEO type.
Wait till Gasparilla rolls around in a couple of weeks. Can you see Arians at the head of one of these ye Tampa crews?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Can,
yeah. Absolutely. With the beret on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beret. What are those things called? It's not a beret.
Kangle? Kangle?
Okay, Kangle. Yeah, beret.
Hey, what's going on with the uniforms? What's this?
Nothing. Nothing.
What's this guy tweeting about? What's going
there's
on?
Some
people
guy
going
that,
crazy.
There's some guy that claims, and I don't know who it is, but there's some guy that claims he's got a source at one buck, says they're going to have different uniforms in 2019, which is frankly impossible because the Bucs would have to go through the NFL to get approval some 14, 15 months prior to the season.
I'm going to go on record saying I don't care if they wear skirts. If you win 11 freaking football games, wear what you want.
Tom Bastier is one of a couple people that have asked the Bucs directly. Gil Arcia at Bucs Nation is another guy. Asked the Bucs directly, are you changing uniforms? And the answer was no. So this person who has a source at One Buck Palace,
move on.
I don't know what to say.
What I could see from Arians, Ira, guys, is that if they're playing well and Byron Leftwich becomes a head coach candidate, I could see Arians saying, we can't lose him. Let him be the HC play caller. I'll move upstairs and oversee and be a consultant, a CEO role. And the Glazers will say, yes, Bruce, we're 11-5, whatever you want.
And DeKuyper will say, now, wait a minute. That's a extra layer. We don't need that. We don't need any extra layers between the GM and the ownership.
I didn't think about that, but you're correct. But I was thinking if that happens, who knows? Somebody else said that the other day. Someone like, I think it was Michael Lombardi. The last thing he needs is another layer. So I've got NFL and baseball people on my side. Anyway.
That's not an outrageous scenario, Steve.
If Arians is promoted, does that mean lights out? I mean, I might be jumping way ahead here, and I love Jason Light. You guys know that.
Not necessarily.
However, Jason Light wouldn't still be here if he couldn't deliver Arians. That's my philosophy. He got Arians. The Glazers wanted Arians. He got them. But now that they have Arians, is Light all of a sudden secure? I don't know.
Well, let's see how some of the the next few draft classes.
That's what I mean.
Out.
To get to Steve's scenario, if the couple, it's hard to say he's having bad drafts if they win 11 games. So I mean,
it's all about winning.
Yeah, it's all about winning. So
all about winning.
If they're winning, I don't know if you get rid of your GM. But if and it's hard to say he's got rotten drafts. If they win 11 games, one doesn't jive with the other. So I don't know if Light would be around or not.
Well, right now he's 27-53, Mr. Jive.
It's all a happy marriage, Sage. And before we get to DeSean Jackson, Ira, right now, Ed Morse is going to save you. Get cash instantly for your trade during the InstaCash trade event at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy. He's going to start your new year off right with up to $15,000 off 2018 Cadillacs or save big with 0% APR financing for 72 months. Ira, that's 6 years. I know you passed your Regents exam. That's 6 full years. Fantastic. You heard right. Get instant cash for your trade, then upgrade with up to $15,000 off or 0% for 72 months. It's all at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And their website, edmorescadillactampa.com. Now, of course, Hillsborough County's other Cadillac dealership is Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And the brand new XT4 has arrived, the 2019, backed by Morse. edmorescadillactbrandon.com is the website. You could start there. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. And, of course, they even have 2019 XT5 Luxury, that beautiful crossover. For $465 per month.
Crossover.
Unbelievable InstaCash trade event going on there. All the details, Ed Morse, Cadillac, Brandon.com. Now, Sage.
Oh, by the way, I want this out before we discuss DeSean Jackson. I want something positive.
About DeSean Jackson, he likes to
fish. I am speaking for all three of us. And
uh-oh.
That is a very dangerous thing to do. I am very happy for Mr. Todd Monken. I am very happy. He landed, and to say he landed on his feet, Lee, is an understatement. Gets to work with a good young quarterback and a team on the rise. good for you, Todd.
Yeah, there was some guy on Twitter, and I pretty much said the same thing on Twitter about Munkin's new job, and some guy on Twitter, like, oh, he'll be head coach of the Browns before the end of the year. I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, when's the last time a first-year coach didn't make it to the end of his first season? He goes, who the hell is Freddie Kitchens? Like, you might want to do a little research.
And, you know, Freddie Kitchens, ironically, is a Bruce Arians disciple. And Arians tells a great story. Again, I've been completely immersed in everything Arians. Freddie Kitchens had a serious medical problem. He was rushed to the hospital. And when he was in Arizona coaching for Arians, and Arians, Kitchens was flown out from like a medevac kind of thing.
Ooh.
And Arians, they got to the hospital. The medevac got to the hospital, and Arians was already there. And he admitted to driving 130 miles an hour.
Already there? He beat the helicopter?
He beat the helicopter. He's like, you know, I know how to drive, and if my guy was going down, I was going to be there. And wow. So they're extremely tight.
Now, that is a warning for anybody on Dale Mabry when you spot Bruce Arians coming.
Or for that matter, Hines.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know this. That's what I'm asking. I can't remember if Freddie Kitchens was the quarterback for Gene Stallings or Bear Bryant, or for that matter, Ray Perkins. Did Arians coach him in Alabama?
I didn't think Freddie Kitchens was that old.
I don't think he's that old either, but, you know, Bear Bryant was coaching up until, 81? Is that when he died, 81? And he died like 30 days after his last game.
I'd have to look it up. I don't know. But anyway, Munkin, I think, was very interesting, Ira. Clearly, the Jets were in love with him because they wanted him to be their offensive coordinator for the college coach, who I forgot his name, who they wanted to give the job. Rhule, is it?
Yeah, Rhule.
Yeah, oh, Rhule. Yeah, from Baylor. Okay.
Yeah, and so the Jets said, well, you can come, but you got to hire Munkin as OC. And he said, screw you. I'm not letting you pick my OC. And Munkin was supposed to be the runner-up for the Packers job, and apparently he had other offers, but he took the Browns gig. Munkin said it was because of the people. And what a great spot for him to land with an up-and-coming organization with strong leadership, new regime. Great spot.
He's got head coach written on him.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Since we're on this subject, for people who, understandably so, they might be grumbling, why didn't you keep Munkin? What did he do that was wrong? You should have kept him. I talked to someone who is still under contract with the Bucks, but is no longer coaching. He had spoken with Brian Leftwich recently. I talked to the guy today, and Leftwich said, "Hey, you know, we're not going to keep you unless we have to. We're looking at the position this guy coaches. We're looking at someone else." And Leftwich told the guy, "You know, we have nothing against you, but Bruce isn't going to be here that long. We all know that. And so since this has to be a quick turnaround, Bruce wants to bring in guys that he's familiar with and that he knows. It's nothing against you. He just doesn't know you, hasn't worked with you before. He wants to bring in people he's worked with or he knows well, because it's got to be boom, boom. It's got to be a quick turnaround. Otherwise, it's a failure. He's still under contract with the Bucks, so even though he doesn't yet have another job, he's okay because he's getting paid.
One of these days, Izbits, one of these podcasts, the Kemper is going to go on the record. It's going to happen before 2019's out. He's going to mention the source, and he's going to mention him by name.
Well, that'll be on
that's going to be a beautiful
thing. That'll be on JoeBucksFan.com before it'll be on your podcast, I hate to say. But.
And the next thing you know, DeKemper skipped town. Nobody knows where he is.
I just looked it up while you guys were talking. Freddie Kitchens is 44 years old.
Oh, he had to be with Gene Stallings then, yeah.
So.
You're talking about DeSean Jackson, my friend.
Mr. Jackson, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, puts out there that Arians' first order of business when he got the job was, sort of recruit or re-recruit, if you will, DeSean Jackson, which is very ironic, Iris, since he's on the roster and he's going to allegedly has to report.
I'm glad you pointed that out. He's under contract.
With the rest of the team. Now, the Bucs owe him $10 million for 2019. It's not guaranteed. What's unclear, which is very critical in all of this, what's unclear right now is when the Bucs owe him that money. Typically, when you become a salary cap casualty, your non-guaranteed money is only good if you make the final 53, much like Michael Clayton back in 2010. They kept him all the way through training camp, and then he was cut. As opposed to the first day of the league year. But we don't know what DeSean Jackson's contract is.
And the league year, by the way, is March 14th this year?
Yeah, something like that. So the Bucks could have the option of keeping him all the way through training camp, maybe seeing if he shines in camp. They could trade him, or if somebody gets hurt, they can keep him. see if he even shows up, but we don't know. So that's the big mystery. However, apparently Arians wants this malcontent to give him a hug and say, what's the matter? We love you.
What happened to trust, respect, and loyalty or whatever?
Yeah.
Whatever that mantra was, Lee.
What do you think of that?
Look, Lee's been giving me credit now for like 3 months, and I'm not a man who likes to forego credit. So the Kemper's credit is, Ira, you're the guy that said right away that DeSean Jackson wasn't going to see the third year of that contract. And, Lee, I'm in no hurry to abandon that position.
Yeah.
So right now, I don't care what Ian Rappaport has to say. He's wrong 48% of the time, if not more. And I would be surprised if DeSean Jackson is on the roster of the 2019 Bucks. I'm sticking with it. Mm-hmm. Lee, he's the least of their needs, the least of them.
You're right.
And I expect Humphreys back, because once Arians watches that tape, which he will like a hawk, he's going to see it in Humphreys, and maybe he thinks he can get more out of Humphreys than they get. He's a very accomplished slot receiver. Very accomplished.
You can make a good argument. There's no question Mike Evans is the
best. And we know what Godwin's doing coming on strong.
Do we?
I think we do. He had 7 touchdowns.
Latter part of the season, he vanished for a couple games in a row. I love the guy, but I'm not ready to anoint him as the successor of DeSean Jackson
he's
yet.
He's a fine number two. He's a fine number. And you got the Jackson Winston problem. It's not going away.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's not going away.
Well, now, wait a minute. It goes away if Bruce Arians says it goes away.
Well, it doesn't go away if he can't hit him. That's still a problem.
And we all know now that's the loud masses used to blame Jameis. Well. It's actually DeSean Jackson's problem. It's not Jameis. The money that would go to DeSean Jackson should go to Humphreys. Humphreys, now there's no question Mike Evans is the best receiver on the team. No question. The most consistent and dependable was Humphreys. Depending who you talk to, Humphreys next year could be looking at $10 million. Could be. Well, that's what DeSean Jackson.
No chance.
Well, Spotrac claims that. You and I both respect Spotrac. And that's their estimate.
No chance.
Well, maybe not. But with that $10 million, you could probably keep Humphreys and afford John Brown, who's a free agent out of Baltimore. He used to play for Arians, has 4.3 speed like DeSean Jackson, but none of the baggage.
I wouldn't have any problem keeping Jackson if he had any kind of rapport with Jameis Winston. He has none. And he didn't want to be here.
No, he didn't want to be here.
2018. He didn't want to be here.
Yeah, the whole thing to me is just goofy as hell, but it's fun.
You know what? And I told this to a couple people at the Shrine practice today, a couple NFL people. Trust, loyalty, and respect, Arian's mantra. If he keeps DeSean Jackson, then those three words are just hot air. They mean nothing. And I hope Arians doesn't do that, because he'll lose a boatload of credibility with me before a kickoff of the 2019 season.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much respect Jackson has in that locker room right now.
Oh, here's one I haven't written up yet.
Is it an unnamed source?
No, no. It is Willie McGinnis, NFL Network, who admits up front he's tight with DeSean Jackson. They're both SoCal guys, both Los Angeles guys. Last Friday night, I taped this on my recorder. I haven't written it up yet. He said, he being McGinnis, said he talked to DeSean Jackson, and DeSean Jackson's a big fan of Arians. Now, I don't know how much credit you want to give that, how much validity that has, but that's coming from McGinnis, not an objective source, and he claims that that's what Jack said. I mean, do you expect Jack to say, I don't want to play for the old fart? He can go drink his Geritol and go take a hike.
Exactly.
I don't know how much to take that. I don't know if it's credible or not, but that's what McGinnis said.
He wants that $10 million, and no one's going to give it to him outside of Tampa.
And he sucks up the Arians and gets the $10 million, maybe.
No, he's just not going to get it. And
I'm not giving him $10 million if he's not going to be an integral part of the offense. Got to be an integral part.
Once he's on the roster, then he's got the money locked up, and who can trust the guy? I mean, it's just silliness.
He's not loyal. He doesn't respect anybody. And like you said, how can you trust him?
The X factor, Jason Light, knows what was being offered for DeSean Jackson last year at the trade deadline. He knows who called him. He knows what they offered. But that sort of gets wiped away, because whoever was offering for Jackson last year, they were only buying him for half a season, half the money. So they would have been renting him, essentially, and deciding if they wanted him for this year. If you go into it this year with Jackson, now you're paying full freight, but you get him in a contract year. And so it changes the game. You would think if he wants to keep going that he's going to behave this year. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
You guys got any thoughts on a backup quarterback behind Winston for 2019, Lee? I think I'd move on from Fitzpatrick.
Would you?
I would. I would move on. I'm not sure the relationship between Fitzpatrick and Winston is that great at this point.
Well, I could tell you.
After that wacky season.
Well, I could tell you the coaching staff, the past coaching staff, they weren't all that amused with Fitzpatrick with his play. When he got yanked from the Giants, they thought he was completely out of control, and they couldn't believe a veteran like that would make some of the passes.
I'd be surprised if Fitzpatrick's back.
Yeah, two elements there. One, the last day when we were there, when the locker room was closing out, I had requested to talk to Fitzpatrick about Mike Munchak, and he didn't want to talk. He didn't want to come out. The Buccaneers asked him if he would talk. Nothing. Okay. But when I was looking through the back, through that trainer's door there where nobody's allowed to go, there he is having fun joking around with Jameis. So take that for what it's worth. They were hanging out.
Oh, after the game, you mean? Or
No, Monday.
That Monday.
The Monday when the locker rooms were clearing out. So, but here's the thing, Ira. Again, with all this Arians research that I've been doing, he loves Drew Stanton, who played for him in Arizona, and he loves Blaine Gabbert and what Blaine Gabbert did for him as a fill-in in Arizona. But both of those guys are under contract with their respective teams this season.
As of now,
but they should be coming back. So it looks like he won't be able to get either of those guys. So I don't know where he's going to go. I don't see Fitzpatrick, though, as an Arians guy.
I don't think it'll be Fitzpatrick.
But like, I'll throw this out at you. Remember,
and I don't think it'll be Ryan Griffin either. Why?
Remember all the – it might be. It might be. But remember all those rumors going back to 3-4 years ago. There were rumors that Jason Light would have been able to trade a third or fourth round pick. Excuse me. Trade Mike Glennon to Arizona for a third or fourth round pick. Those rumors were out there, and Arians was the coach. And maybe they bring back Glennon.
I'm still the guy that says draft the guy in the third round. I'm not backing off it. Draft the guy. You don't have to play him, and Arians can get a good long look at him for a full year. If Winston doesn't work out, he can make a judgment on that guy.
I know we kind of discussed this in your emergency podcast, but I didn't know if we went into great detail. I'm starting to think that that's pie in the sky. What I mean by that is, we all know, I think we all agree, that Arians, it's short term. Why would he bring a guy in that might take 3 years to develop? He won't be around. Why not bring in a veteran? Like Steve was saying, a Drew Stanton, or God forbid, Blaine Gabbert.
I'm not sure you don't do both.
And a rookie be a third string?
Now, the kid coming out of Oklahoma, fascinating story.
Oh!
Now, suppose he drops. Let's say he does enter the draft, and he drops to the second round. Do you take a flyer on him?
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm not using a second-round pick on it.
So, Kyler Murray, it's a complicated situation. It's fun, but someone's going to draft him if he goes to the draft. Will he fall? Who knows? But I agree with you, Ira, just in the sense that if you have the quarterback whisperer, if you have the guy who's this alleged guru, if he loves somebody in the draft, even if it's the sixth round, fourth round, whatever it is, if he loves a guy and thinks he can develop him, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you do need a backup quarterback. The GMs love to have an inexpensive backup quarterback. And, look at Kirk Cousins came out of the third round as a backup and, you know, didn't squawk and balk as the backup. So
you take a quarterback in the second round the first time Winston has a bad game, fans are screaming for the kid.
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair to Winston. I know what Steve's saying. It's deliciously addictive to think of that. But I think you don't even know if Murray's going to play football. You don't know.
And that's another factor.
Yeah, you don't know.
That's another factor.
You know, he could be used. Remember, his agent is Scott Boras.
You know that people are already writing stories about teams that are looking ahead at the 2020 draft where a couple of quarterbacks are going to be available. Sort of the intimation is, we're not going to be that good in 2019. That's okay.
Brandt,
is this what we've come down to?
Ira, you've been around the NFL a long time. You know the front offices look 2 and 3 years down the road. This is not a surprise in any way.
So if you see a John Elway out there, plan accordingly.
Do you see what Gil Brandt wrote about Trevor Lawrence? If you think you need a quarterback in a couple of years, you start stocking up on draft picks now and make a run at him. You pull a Ditka. He's that good. That's what Gil Brandt said.
To give yourself some flexibility.
To make a run. Yeah.
Yeah, to move up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said that. He goes, you start stocking up on draft picks now.
All right, Sage, you wrote your column on Monday. You picked some winners and losers as the Arians regime kicks off.
Had a little fun with it. Had a little fun, sure.
So the regime kicks off. You pick some winners and losers. For those who didn't read it, you want to give a nugget out of that that you think you want to...
All right. We start with the winners. Lee, the obvious winner is Jameis Winston. There's no question about that. And this, you know what? Tell me what you think, Lee. I said, right now, we don't really know for sure how Dirk Cutter felt about Jameis Winston. We don't know.
That's fair.
We really don't know. I said he didn't have a lot of input in selecting Winston over Mariota.
I think
that's true.
Yeah.
He had just come aboard.
Yeah, he had no
That was a lovey light thing.
He had no clout, as you would say.
And then he got the report that they had a strained relationship, and that's before the suspension. And certainly the suspension didn't do Winston any favors with his relationship with Cutter. Mm-hmm. And then he benched him. So now Winston has an unabashed fan calling plays for him on the sidelines for him. A guy who is wrapping his arms around Jameis Winston. Now, look, having said that, a lot of Winston's problems are of his own making.
Absolutely.
I'm not making excuses for Winston.
Absolutely, yes. You're right.
Now, I'm not blaming Dirk Cutter for his suspension.
No.
And I'm not blaming Dirk Cutter for his horrid performance in Cincinnati. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, Cutter wasn't riding an Uber.
So Winston is the first obvious guy. Now, I mentioned Cameron Brate as my number two winner. I looked at Arizona's teams those first 2-3 years when Arians hit the desert. He used two tight ends quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And he didn't have tight ends like O.J. Howard and Brate. A lot of fans have turned on Brate. They don't like his targets dropped, his production dropped. He still scored 6 touchdowns. He's got 20 TDs in the last 3 years. Not a bad number.
No.
Mike Evans has 25. He has 20. I still think he's a valuable piece.
Absolutely.
On this team.
Well, is it fair to say that he didn't have that many targets because O.J. Howard got some?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't see how you can hold that against Brate.
Steve, you also have the fact that Winston has a tremendous comfort level with Cameron Brate.
Yeah, let's not forget that Cutter at the end of the season basically said Brate's been battling injuries
since
day one.
That's another factor.
And he probably needs surgery.
And Brate wouldn't even tell us at the end. He goes, you'll find out.
It shows what kind of class act he is.
Yeah,
he could have easily said, hey, I need surgery, but nope.
And your losers were Gerald McCoy.
Because I think they are going 2 or 3, 4 if I was a betting man. I think they are. My other loser. Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith, because fresh set eyes on Donovan Smith. He may not play up to the standard that Arian wants. And what's the one negative thing that Arian said about the 2018 Buck roster? He only said one negative thing, in my opinion. He might have said it when he came into the media room. I'm not sure he said it at the podium. He was asked about the offensive line, and he said, that area needs to be beefed up.
Yeah.
He didn't hesitate. And he used the word consistency. What's the word you always been using with Donovan Smith?
Yes, yes.
Now, Cutter was a big apologist for Donovan Smith. And by apologist, I don't mean Donovan Smith's the 28th best left tackle. I think he's middle of the pack. But if Arians thinks you can do better, you do better.
Well, here's something interesting. I can't remember where I heard this. I'm basing this on a quote that I'm not sure it came from Arians. But Mr. Arians' research across the table from us, maybe he heard this.
He's all about Arians, Isbit. All about Arians.
Did Arians... And that was a great interview Barstool Sports did with Arians. We had the video Saturday morning on JoeBucksFan.com.
How many damn interviews has this guy done over there?
This was like a year old, but it's fantastic. It was a sit-down. Looked like at Arians' house in Georgia. They're talking about offensive line.
Were they out fishing? Were they in a canoe or something?
They were in his office or desk or den or whatever. I want to say this is where it came from. I heard this from somewhere. I think it came from this video where Arians was talking about developing offensive line, how difficult that it is nowadays because of spread offenses in college. Colleges are stuck on a 20-hour rule. They can only work so much, and that's part of the reason why they run spread offenses because you don't really need to develop offensive linemen. And he said something along the lines of, with offensive linemen nowadays, you draft them, it'll take you 3 years to develop them, and by that time, you're probably fired. Did that come from that video?
I don't remember. I've heard him say stuff like that, but, you know.
So that's why I think Donovan Smith may be safe. Maybe.
Look at what the Bucs did in 2015. They played 2 rookies and led the league in rushing and were great.
That's true, but, I mean, there is an offensive line crisis in the NFL. We know that. And if Arians is of the belief that if you draft the guy, it's going to take 3 years to develop, and by that time you'll get fired, and we all know Arians is short-term, maybe that saves Donovan Smith.
What do you think, Stevie? You always love original research. You've been known to do it yourself. I gave you a little nugget today in that Monday in the column. He came in, and of the 22 starters for the final game of the 2012 Cardinals, 15 of them were replaced the first game of the 2013 Cardinals.
Of the 22 15 starters?
15 of the 22.
That's cleaning the house.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Bucs have massive problems on defense. You know, it's been sugar-coated and the Duffner and all that stuff, and we all get caught up in
garbage.
Garbage defense.
This is a guy used to coaching Patrick Peterson. You see Patrick Peterson in this secondary?
Yes.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I could see them going out and getting Patrick
Peterson. No. I mean, do they have one? Do you see one?
No.
Okay.
The Buccaneers, it's been...
You scared me over there, Lee. I thought you were going to compare Vernon Hargraves to Patrick Peterson.
Now, by the way, that guy's a major question mark because you're talking about durability. He's only played in, what, 8 games in 2 years?
No question about it.
That's a major question mark.
He's a non-factor. He's coming off surgery.
You can't bank on
him. He wasn't good before. He was benched by Mike Smith. I mean,
but you know what?
Terrible.
I got to be fair. I don't think we could judge anybody that started for Mike Smith. I really don't.
Well, Arians is going to be tasked with judging them by how they perform.
I wrote this Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com, Ira. And it's about running backs specifically, and about how the Bucs apparently either they don't know how to draft running backs or they don't know how to develop them, maybe both. But you know what? In a few months, we'll find out where the problem is with offensive or with the running backs. We'll find out if it's the drafting or if it's the development. We'll find out.
You're right.
Ira, is it fair to say, this is really an easy question but a tough question, it's a core question, and it's the kind of question that people look for your sage wisdom.
Core question.
What a setup, Steven. Try to say it with a straight face.
Arians'
right?
number one job is to fix this defense in a hurry. That's his number one job. Anything else is just garbage. Because Jameis, yes, he's been inconsistent, but he hasn't played. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. He's not.
Is it his job? Is it Light's job? Or is it Bowles' job?
He's the head coach. Is it Arians' number one job is to fix the darn defense?
More than Jameis.
Number one.
All right.
I'm asking you.
Oh, my answer is no. His number one job is to fix Jameis, which I think is easier than fixing the defense because Winston is at least middle of the pack in this defense.
Yeah,
he's
shown signs he could be stellar.
But I understand what you're saying, Steve. I understand. They need an infusion of defensive talent.
Boy,
they got to have it.
That's an interesting question. That's how bad was the coaching? How bad was Jason Light at his job in picking these guys?
I guess I'm answering from an ownership.
I
always look from an ownership point of view. And for me, Winston transcends everything.
It's called investment.
Nicely done, Lee. Like you got in this meal tonight.
I'm investing in buying you a meal.
If the coaching was that bad and the scheme was so screwy that didn't fit these guys, it's possible. It's at least possible that Justin Evans and Jordan Whitehead walk out there next season. And they're great. They're like a whole step better because of the coaching staff and the Bucs are set at safety. And
except you don't really believe that, Steve.
I didn't say I believed it.
Every time, and this is nothing against Justin Evans. I like the guy. I think he's an okay player. Just okay. But every time I hear his name, really? Justin Evans over Alvin Kamara? Really?
Think they got enough quality linebackers to play a 3-4, Steven? If Beckwith comes back?
Come on. I'm so sick of that. It drives me nuts. Beckwith is coming off a serious injury. We don't know if the guy's ever going to be the same.
How many is the guy going to miss?
He's got a crushed ankle.
He may
ankle.
Never be the same, Ira. Quan Alexander is coming off an ACL. It's not that simple.
About Quan. Nothing against Quan. We loved his heart. I mean, the heart, the spirit. You love that. This defense got better without him. And I was talking to your friend, Martin Finley, humorist Martin Finley, the Tampa Bay Times. I said that to him. I said, when Quan left, the defense got better. And he told me, he was like, that's never a good thing for a player. When a unit improves without you, that's not good.
Well, you know what I always say. He's not a polished player. He's not.
Well, he's had how many years to polish?
Sage, we are about to check out on the podcast. Of course, we'll be back.
That's Jason Light's brain thinking of the past couple of drafts.
Yeah, if you can
somebody
hear
trying
it.
To steal your car out over there, isn't it?
Now, we're going to check out. We'll be back Thursday. One thing before you send us
hey,
out.
Hey, Bruce, I drafted Justin Evans over to Alvin Kamara.
By the way, when we come back on Thursday, I expect a couple of tidbits from the East-West Shrine practices.
Absolutely. We'll give you some nuggets, some on the record, some off the record. And I'm going to save for next podcast. In all my Arians research, I uncovered a red flag that really cost me a night of sleep, Ira.
Oh,
so I'll tease that.
God, what a tease.
It really shook me to the core, and I'm a little concerned, but perhaps you can soothe me. But one thing I also found, Ira, is that they call it the booze culture in Arizona. That's what they nicknamed it, the whole Arian Steve Keim, let's go out and get loaded kind of thing. And Arians, in several new interviews, was talking about drinks and cocktails.
He talked about it at Ava.
And he talked about...
yeah, he did. I said, what'd they bring out? He goes, everything. Flatbreads, this and that, the drinks. Oh, yeah, the drinks were right
so
there.
So he passed his physical with flying colors, and clearly he has not cut back his drinking, and should be very interesting. Sage, your final thoughts.
Well, let's put it like this. I think all three of us hope that the Bucks record in 2019 does not necessarily contribute to Arian's penchant for cocktails.
Well, I consider myself a lucky man because 2 years ago at the Combine, who did I run across in the bar at St. Elmo's? It was Steve Keim, who quickly introduced me to Bruce Arians, and we shared a couple of cocktails and talked football.
For 11 years, Buck fans have been instructed to drink heavily, Steve. That needs to stop. Uh-oh. The Kemper almost spit up his rum and coke over there.